for people that feel like they're wasting their time, they're not getting the results they want, what is one thing that they could be doing right now that would turn things around for them?
So I say, well, let's assume your time's worth $50 an hour, which I think is an underestimate, but whatever, let's call it 50. That's $2,000 a week. It's $100,000 a year. It's like, how much better would your life be if you weren't wasting $100,000 a year?
So I feel like you may be behind. You may actually be behind your destiny right now. Like, maybe you're not on pace. In fact, I think most people watching this, listening, will say, I am behind on achieving my destiny. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I feel like it's slipping. I feel like I'm behind.
Most people who are lazy are also bitter about something. There is no sense of profoundness to their life. They always feel insufficient. That's not the way to live.
You aim at something and that will shape you as you move towards it. And then your aim will change, you'll move. But that doesn't matter. It gets you going.
So if you're gonna do 30 minutes on the treadmill every day, you don't do 30 minutes, you do the 30 minutes, you do one more. You're gonna make 10 contacts in a day, you don't make 10 contacts in a day, you do the 10 contacts and you make one more. So you start stacking up mathematically all of these one mores. You've just done more, so you're better. But you've changed the standard of your life. And you've built this superhuman type self-confidence that I don't only do what I say I'm going to do. I do one more than I'm saying I'm going to do. And that's something almost nobody's willing to do. So I'm going to get things almost nobody's going to get.
Well, if you took on all the responsibility you could take on, and you faced everything that you needed to face, what would you be like? Who would you be? And how would the world transform around you?
So you better figure out time differently. And you can bend and manipulate time to your advantage.
Welcome to Daily Motivation, where you get motivated and inspired.
The one commodity that is most valuable on this earth is time. Time to love, time to live. From the moment the human body is born, it begins dying. I don't think you quite caught that. Let me say it again. From the moment the human body is born, it begins dying. Some happen faster. Some happen slower. Some of us help them go faster. And some of them prevent it from happening sooner than later. How many seconds, how many minutes do we waste every day doing things that are nowhere near the goals and aspirations and passions that we have inside? How many times do you go through the course of a day and realize, did I do anything I set out to do today? Write down those goals each and every day. No matter if it's two goals a day, if you can accomplish those, then you're doing more than just making it through the day. You are living and achieving your dreams. Find time to better yourself, read, explore, research, live life, do things you've never thought of doing before. That's what it's all about. When you're born, that's that date that they put on the left side of the tombstone. When you die, they put another date on the right side of the tombstone. But that dash in the middle is the most important thing on that tombstone. That is a line that throughout that entire time frame, you were able to impact and touch others' lives. You were able to leave your mark on this earth. You were able to build a legacy that nobody could change. You were able to have it to where people remembered who you are no matter what. When you're living for that dash in the middle, you're gonna remember your why. Your why you're here. Not the why did you do something. Your why, your reason for getting up in the morning, your reason for pushing yourself past the brink of exertion and giving up, your reason for moving on and getting things done in life. That dash in the middle, that's the thing that pushes you.
How do you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your physical appearance, in terms of your health? Do you take care of yourself? Are you allowing yourself to get overweight and out of shape? Are you conscious of your health? Are you watching the food that you take into your body? Do you make a deliberate effort to exercise? You know, it was George Burns, he said, we cannot help getting older, but we don't have to get old. And many of us get old before our time because we don't take time to take care of ourselves. Your environment is a very good indicator. On a scale of 1 to 10, is it what you want it to be? Do you find it desirable? Are you satisfied? The job or career that you're involved in. Someone said that 85% of the American public are unhappy with their jobs. Are you spending 8 hours a day just doing time? Doing something that you don't find challenging, that does not make you stretch mentally, that does not stimulate you, that does not inspire you. Something that you don't find a sense of fulfillment in it. If you're doing that day in and day out, it has to affect how you feel about yourself, your level of motivation, your relationships. What kind of impact is it having on your life? Is it nourishing or is it a toxic relationship? Does it drain you or does it build you up? Ask yourself that. How motivated are you to do something about it? Your contribution, your actions. What are you giving? Many people will leave the universe without a trace. No one will know they were here. And in fact, under their name, we could put under there, not used up. Will anybody know that you came this way? What contribution are you giving? What will you leave? What will be different because you came this way?
Just stop for a second. Write down your why. What are you doing this for in life? If your why doesn't make you cry, then that's not your why. Again, if your why doesn't make you cry, then that's not your why. Your why should be something so big that it moves your family tree. Your why should be something so big that it changes the whole outlook on how things are with you and your home, your family, your religion, your purpose. Think about your passion. Think about your opportunities. And that's how you find your purpose. OPP. When that why meets up with your passion, your opportunity, your purpose, then you'll find out. The most important day in your life is the day you remember why you were born.
Stop wasting time. The most important commodity in this world is time. Time is priceless. Time is the essence of what you do each and every day. See, a lot of people show up at a job and they work and work and work and they don't like it. Or they show up at school and they study, 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 take tests and don't like it. But for some of us, we've went to a place to where we realize that all of that is for something to make us better. That's a mindset. That's not despising small things. That's realizing that a higher power is in charge to get you on a path, and with your freedom of choice, you can make yourself even greater. Success is not overnight. It's studying. It's learning. It's growing. It's falling down and getting back up. It's failing and failing forward. It's not quitting. It's late nights, early mornings, no alarm clock, passion waking you up. It's something inside, an innate ability that makes you feel like I am something and I'm going to be something. Never, never let anybody tell you different. So I need you to believe you can move past depression, anxiety, fear, and all these emotions that come in that are not part of what you're going to be one day. I know it's tough, but time and time again, the tougher it is, the better it's going to make you. We can't shy away from the things that are tough, because those are the things that make us get better and better and better. That's practice. That's in and out. That's rep after rep, time after time, lap after lap, lesson after lesson, paper after paper, book after book, training our mind to get better each and every day. That's in you. You have been built for this. You can't quit. You can do it. Not depression, not learning disabilities, not stress, not family, not finances. Not being the smartest one in the class, not being a great test taker, you can do this. You have been built for this. Nothing just happens. You are in this situation for a reason, and you are built for this. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your destiny. So stop wasting time. How many seconds, how many minutes, how many hours have we wasted? How many weeks, how many months, even how many years have we wasted doing things that we know are not productive towards our dreams? The reality is that we have to maximize our time in order to make our dreams reality. Stop wasting time. We can never get it back. Why am I here? When you realize why you were born, you have become the person you were supposed to be and move on to the greatest parts of your life. See, a lot of people show up at a job and they work and work and work and they don't like it. Or they show up at school and they study, take tests and don't like it. But for some of us, we've went to a place to where we realize that all of that is for something to make us better. That's a mindset. That's not despising small things. That's realizing that a higher power is in charge to get you on a path, and with your freedom of choice, you can make yourself even greater. Making yourself believe that you can do it is a part of the process. It wasn't started without any work. You have to work through it. Tell yourself that you will do it.
What can we do? What are some of the keys that we can begin to use to motivate ourselves when our batteries run low? Because I don't care who you are, I don't care what you do, at some time you are going to get tired. At some time you're going to get in a rut, seem like nothing you do works out right. And sometimes it just seems like you just don't have the wherewithal or the will to do anything. That sometimes you act like you're punch drunk. You're just wading through life, just doing time day in and day out, looking at non-discriminatory television, anything that's on, just looking. And depressed, feeling powerless, feeling useless, and bored. What do you do? How do you get yourself out of a rut? How do you, when you know you can do more than what you've been doing and you're not doing it and you're discontent with where you are, you get angry at yourself. How do you get out of that rut? How do you motivate yourself? One of the things that we must do is that we must be involved in working on achieving self-mastery. You must work on yourself continuously. Never be satisfied with yourself. Always know that as you invest the effort and time on you, that's the greatest ability that human beings have above animals. See, a dog can't be anything but a dog. Tree can't be anything but a tree. Human being, you've got unlimited potential. You can put effort on you, and by concentrating on you and developing you, you can transform your life wherever you are right now. Most people won't do that. Well, they won't take time to go to lectures. They won't take time to go to seminars. They won't take time to go to classes to improve themselves. And as you continue to work on yourself, you will begin to expand your vision of yourself. You begin to work towards self-mastery. And you will begin to see it reflect itself in all the dimensions of your life, your mental life, your physical life, your social life, in your relationships, your monetary life. So concentrate on developing yourself. Because if you don't, I guarantee you that you will make a settlement. And most people have. And most of us already have. What kind of settlement have you made with your life? You know, when we make settlements, out-of-court settlements, you've heard them? That means that you decided to take something less than what you originally wanted to get had you gone into court. And the reason that you settled outside of court is because you didn't believe that you can get it. So you made an out-of-court settlement. Many of us are making in-life settlement. We're settling for less than what we actually deserve. We don't feel good about it, but we make it work in our minds. We'll come up with some kind of excuse to make it all right.
Extraordinary. Oh, when we put our minds to it, we can do extraordinary things. The Wright brothers, once they did achieve flight after time and time again of making mistakes, 66 years later, the human race was able to put a man on the moon. It's been said that time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. The human mind has a mindset that once it gets focused on the goal and buckles down and realizes what it wants to do, human beings can do extraordinary things. See, some of us get these labels and these deficiencies and we just hang our hats on those and we make excuses. You know, you can't make excuses and be successful at the same time. So quickly at a young age, I realized that I have got to outwork other people. Nothing is impossible when you don't quit. Stop wasting time. Because if you live every second like it's your last, you will never waste time. Coach Hype. Onward, upward, towards the light.
Well, if you took on all the responsibility you could take on, and you faced everything that you needed to face, what would you be like? Who would you be? And how would the world transform around you? And, well, if the partial answer is, well, if I do that a little bit, things get a fair bit better, then the next question might be, well, what if you did that completely? And I don't think that's possible in some sense, right? It's like, you know, perfection is a horizon that always recedes, but it isn't obvious to me what the upper limit of that is. And I mean, great literature tells you the great story of good and evil, always. It's good and evil against a background of chaos and order, always. And the evil characters are there to be bad examples, and the good characters are there to be good examples, or you see the interplay of those forces within a single person. And it's a reminder of who you could be. If you don't know who you could be, your conscience will remind you when you deviate, and then you can start to attend to that. Think, well, look, I'm actually ashamed when I do this. I should stop. Unless I want to be ashamed all the time, it looks like I should stop. And then maybe you stop doing that. And then your conscience objects to something else. And maybe you stop doing that. And as that happens, you start to develop a vision of who you could be. You're someone in an out-of-the-way place at a particular time and place. And for you, what that means is that make contact with the highest of values. You have to bring that down to your particulars and figure out how you do that. It's going to be a way that no one else does it, because you're the only one that's you. But you can aim at something. And the point of the chapter is that you aim at something, and that will shape you as you move towards it. And then your aim will change. You'll move. But that doesn't matter. It gets you going.
Who are you? Or at least, who could you be? Answer. Part of the eternal force that constantly confronts the terrible unknown, voluntarily. Part of the eternal force that transcends naivety and becomes dangerous enough in a controlled manner to understand evil and beard it in its lair. And part of the eternal force that faces chaos and turns it into productive order. Or that takes order that has become too restrictive, reduces it to chaos, and renders it productive once again. and all of this being very difficult to understand consciously, but vital to our survival, is transmitted in the form of the stories that we cannot help but attend to. And it is in this manner that we come to apprehend what is of value, what we should aim at, and what we could be. Well, to begin with, and this happened when I was in graduate school, I had a lot of bad habits. I smoked like a pack of cigarettes a day, and I drank a lot. I came from this little town in northern Alberta, and like many little towns, especially in northern Canada, the alcohol overuse is de rigueur, you know, it's and so I noticed when I was in my early 20s that the only time I really regretted what I had done was when I was drinking. Now, it was also interfering with me writing, because I couldn't concentrate well enough if I was hungover, but I also couldn't tolerate the emotional strain of what I was writing about when I was hungover. It was too, I couldn't handle being on the edge because I destabilized my nervous system. In any case, I stopped drinking. And the reason for that was, well, I decided I didn't want to be ashamed of what I was doing anymore. It seemed, I thought, well, maybe I could not do things that were shameful and then see what my life was like. So that was sort of on the negative end, the constraint end. I think people get, on the more positive end, people get deeply involved in what they're doing if they're in the right place in the right time. So that you, I would say you can tell, this is the idea of heaven on earth to some degree. When time stops, when you're not aware of the duration of time, when you're so engaged with what you're doing, then you've got the forces of chaos and order balanced properly. You're not stultified and bored, that's an excess of order. Everything's too predictable. You're not overwhelmed. You're dealing with, it's like you're playing tennis at the peak of your game. That's partly what people experience when they're great athletes, when they play.
The zone, yeah.
You know, and they're always stretching themselves to their limit. You can tell that if you watch a gymnast, for example, who has a brilliant performance. They've stretched themselves beyond their domain of competence during the performance. And that's what makes everybody leap to their feet. That's the incarnation given embodiment right there in front of you for some moments. And everyone cheers that on.
If you're adopting a time frame that makes what you're doing appear trivial, the problem isn't necessarily what you're doing, although it might be, and you have to ask yourself that question because perhaps you are engaging in something that's more trivial than you should be. The problem is that your mind, which is capable of leaping across evaluative frameworks, has picked a time frame inappropriate for the task. So quit doing that. Instead, you could say, well, why don't you practice adopting the time frame that imbues your properly oriented action with the deepest possible apprehended meaning? And why would you not think that the fact that that meaning manifests itself with the proper choice of time frame, why wouldn't you accept the fact that's indication of a valid choice? It certainly feels like it. You know what it's like. You get engaged in something, a deep conversation, a piece of music, a piece of art, something you love doing, someone you love being with. You get engaged in that. You lose your sense of temporality. And you don't pop out of it and think, oh my God, I wish I would have used a time frame that made everything irrelevant because of my, you know, cognitive brilliance. You think, hey, we could do that some more. Like, how about all the time? And that's a good goal. It's like, yeah, how about that all the time? And then you've got time right when you're engaged like that. And I would say that's a profound neurophysiological signal that you're in the right place at the right time, right? Because it's accompanied by a sense of deep well-being. And that's literally an antidote to suffering.
The advantage to being deprived is that it's obvious what to do. Like if you're starving, then you eat. Yeah. There's no question. But if you have enough to eat and you have enough shelter and you have enough information, maybe not as much as you could have, but enough, it starts to become difficult to decide what to do. And then you have another problem, which is that you can't decide what to do.
Yeah.
And then you have to start to investigate value.
So you should be responsible to yourself and your future self, the community of selves that you are across time. And then you should be responsible for and productive for as many people as you can manage. And so that might be first your intimate partner, your wife, second your parents, your siblings, your children, maybe your children primarily, although, you know, there's a trade-off there with your wife, then your local community, then your broader community,
You want to take on all that responsibility if you can, in a sense that's both productive and generous, that gives you something to do, justify your miserable life to yourself and everyone else. And you need to do that. It orients you solidly in the world if you do that. And it gives you a dragon to fight, a real one. And that's where the gold is, so.
For people that feel like they're wasting their time, they're not getting the results they want, what is one thing that they could be doing right now that would turn things around for them?
I think one of the things is the way that we approach time. This is something that almost no one talks about anymore. So I feel like you may be behind. You may actually be behind your destiny right now. Like maybe you're not on pace. In fact, I think most people watching this, listening, will say, I am behind on achieving my destiny. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I feel like it's slipping. I feel like I'm behind. So you better figure out time differently. And you can bend and manipulate time to your advantage. And so I, about 25 years ago, went, I'm not the most talented. I'm not the smartest, and I'm really not. I don't come from, you know, a whole track record of success, right? I don't have the perfect upbringing. How in the world am I gonna win? I gotta do things other people aren't willing to do, and I gotta fix the way I look at time. The most stupid, antiquated, ridiculous concept on planet Earth today very well may be that a day is 24 hours. It's so stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. 24-hour days were contrived when there were no cars. There was no electricity. If I wanted to get you a message, I had to write something down if I could, send it on a horseback, hope you get it. That's insane. Never mind the internet. So what used to take hours, days, weeks, months, years to do can be done now in a millisecond in the internet or on our smartphones. Yet we measure the time the same way that guy did? That's bananas. That is so stupid. And so my days now are from 6 a.m. to noon. That's a day. It's 6 hours. And in that day, some days you just chill. But in that day, I'm gonna get the amount of productivity, faith, working out, fitness, money, business, you name it, in that day. We've all had a morning where we go, I got more done this morning than I have in weeks. Well, why can't you do that every morning? So I measure time. I've compressed and condensed time. I've bent it. My day is 6 a.m. to noon, and I'm not crazy. You're crazy for thinking it takes 24 hours, just like some dude in a cave did 300 years ago. And it's unfair that people have taught you this. My second day starts at noon and goes till 6 p.m. That's day two. But what the cool thing is, at the end of day one, this clock goes off about noon every day, bro, and goes, what did I just get done? What didn't I do? What do I need to be accountable for? What do I need to double my efforts? Just like you do at the end of most days. Right? And then the next day is 6 p.m. to midnight. And some of those are just fun days. Sundays I chill, right? But some days they're really super productive. What I've done now is I have changed and manipulated time. I now get 21 days a week. Stack that up over a month, I'm gonna kick your butt. Stack that up over a year, you're toast. Stack it up over 5 years, my entire life is different than it would have been otherwise. And if you do this for about 90 of your traditional days that you think are, you will come back to me and go, that profoundly impacted my life. And here's the other thing that happens. The world responds to you differently when you value your time like that. What is precious is valuable. That's why a diamond or this watch is way more expensive than the piece of paper that's written down there, because it's more scarce. When your time, when you interact with the world, is slightly more scarce, they respond to you as if you're more valuable. So you get more accountability, more productivity, more fun, more joy, and the world flips its response to you. All of a sudden, you become more valuable and precious to people when your time is different. And you'll get thousands more days in your life and live a much more blissful and happy life than the person who only gets 24 hours. Building self-confidence is the process of keeping the promises you make to yourself. And if you lack self-confidence, you've got a relationship and reputation with yourself that's not very favorable. But in life, as you know, we don't get like our goal, we get about 25% of our goals. But we ultimately always get our standards. Long term, you will get your standards. So the question becomes, what's the standard need to be then? And that standard needs to be, you keep the promises you make to yourself and one more. So if you're gonna do 30 minutes on the treadmill every day, you don't do 30 minutes. You do the 30 minutes, you do one more. You're gonna make 10 contacts in a day. You don't make 10 contacts in a day. You do the 10 contacts and you make one more. So you start stacking up mathematically all of these one mores. You've just done more, so you're better. But you've changed the standard of your life. And you've built this superhuman type self-confidence that I not only do what I say I'm going to do, I do one more than I'm saying I'm going to do. And that's something almost nobody's willing to do. So I'm going to get things almost nobody's going to get. So that's one thing initially everybody can do. This is something that if we could train ourselves to do, our entire lives would change, which is that do the inconvenient or difficult thing in your day or in your life. Human nature is to avoid that. You call it being lazy, but it's just to avoid the inconvenient. Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, which I love, he says, on the other type of temporary pain, you are introduced to your other self, and that other self produces another life. So what we have to change, I think, to some extent, is our relationship with pain. I'm willing to pursue pain. I'm willing to pursue discomfort and do the inconvenient thing, because on the other side of that, I have extended my capacity. I've literally changed who I am by getting on the other side of that. When you find a family or a person that's happy and successful, or either one, somewhere back in their lineage, they weren't. That family wasn't. And then the one shows up. The one. And that one changes that family forever. It changes the way they live, the way the world treats them, the way they think. They're the Neo. They're the one in their family. And in my family, I'm the one. I'm the one. I didn't like it. I didn't hope for it. I fought for it. And if you're listening to this or watching it, why don't you consider the fact that potentially maybe you're the one? And the fact that you don't think you are, or that you're not qualified to be the one, or don't have the background or the skills or the confidence, probably makes you the one, because that was me. So if you're listening to this or watching it, stop discounting yourself. Stop carrying these bags of your life of the things you're embarrassed or ashamed of, or that you think are insignificant, that don't amount to anything. Those are the things, you, precious you, that could change another precious human being's life in a moment where they need you the most. And if you don't believe you're qualified, if you don't believe you can do it, you're gonna miss those moments in your life, and your entire existence here wasn't what it was supposed to be. I was with Kobe the week before he passed away. Mm. I wonder if someone would have whispered, Kobe, when he got in the car today, 6 more days. How would that week maybe have been different for him? What would he have said? Who would he have loved? Who would he have reached out to? What would have mattered to him? How about the Saturday before? Kobe, 1 more day. See, it hits us when I say that. And there's a whisper happening that you can't hear. We forget. We're gonna die. Napoleon Hill says, begin with the end in mind. Mm. What if you did that with your life? What if you began with the end of your life in mind and worked it backwards? See, when we begin to distill downs and we realize, yeah, there's a power to one more because they're not promised how many we have. And there's a power and there's a blessing that you get one more in your life. Have another day to change their life. They have another opportunity to do one more. They have another opportunity to make their family proud of them. They still have more time. They don't just have one more day probably to be the one in their family. Life is beautiful. It's precious. And sometimes we only have an appreciation for it in its absence. Sometimes we only have an appreciation for the power of the one mores or the people in our lives when we imagine their absence. And so I would just ask everybody to consider that.
Life. How beautiful it is. How amazing it is to be able to rise up in the morning and have that sun shine on your face rather than on your grave. What makes life so unique and so beautiful? It is beautiful because whatever you have that you may be facing, what you may be dealing with, life is still good. Life has so many moving parts, but life is always good. Every day is a new day and another opportunity that others may not have. This life that you have been given, this life that you are temporarily holding on to, this life that has been just given to you for only temporary reasons, has more meaning than you can ever imagine. So many people in the world take life for granted instead of realizing that you have to take the opportunity to live it the best way you know how. Now on this journey of life, you're going to face a significant amount of circumstances, a significant amount of challenges. You're going to fall into areas that you cannot understand. And maybe it's not in a position for you to understand at that moment. When you start to feel that you are in a position that you don't love your life, then shame on you. Because your life is a beautiful thing. And no one deserves to ruin it. No one deserves to control it. No one deserves to steal your joy. Your life is your life, and you have the right to live it the best way you can. You must discipline yourself and take full control and responsibility for the outcome or whatever it is that you are seeking at this moment.
Because if you're looking for the motivation, if you're looking for the inspiration to get started, to get going, that's the thing that's really going to drive you. That's the thing that's going to get your rocket off the ground. Now, think about that analogy. When you're waiting and waiting and waiting for the rocket to get started, to launch and lift off into space, what happens?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
liftoff. And I want you to use that same analogy in your head. When you sit down at the desk, when you get to school, when you get on the bus, you get on the train, you start walking, you get to the library. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. When you get to the next lesson, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. When you're looking for the inspiration, you're looking for the feeling, and feelings are temporary. Feelings come and go. You can't control how you feel. You know that already. But what you can control is your level of discipline, the level of discipline that you have to get started. And that's what you can do to help you get there. It's not fun to wake up early and read and read and read. And it might be boring to sit alone in your room or alone in the library studying. It might not be fun, it might not be easy, but it is profitable. It does give you results. Think about all of the great people that we admire in our society and the things that they must have had to go through in order to make it look effortless.
Motivation is not just going to find you by chance, it's going to find you warming up in the gym. It's going to find you with that pen in your hand 10 minutes into that study session in the library on a Sunday when there's no one else around. None of your friends joined you. Motivation might even find you, like me, when you get rejected by every single university you apply for. Sweating, working hard, straining yourself, pushing yourself to get things done. And there's only one person in this world who can make it happen. And that person, my friend, that person is you. That person is the one that looks right back at you in the mirror, and you need to stop looking for guarantees from your teachers or from the curriculum. And don't get me wrong, you know, there's plenty of holes in education. There's plenty of things that I don't agree with, but you have to learn to play the game. And this is these are the words that I wish I had heard when I was younger. Push yourself, get it done, make it happen. Stop looking for external motivation and start building that fire inside of you. Start adding more logs, more petrol to those flames every single day. And when you're waiting where it's safe, not only are you wasting time, but you are murdering. Yes, I use that word intentionally. You're murdering that success that you crave. Because potential doesn't activate itself on the sidelines. It activates itself when you're taking action, when you're in the arena. When you see the people who had less potential than you achieve more, because they did what? They got it done. They made it happen. So the only thing that I want you to take away from this video is what? You're either growing you're either on the attack or you're on the defense, and that means you're decaying. There is no room for an in-between. So push yourself, stop waiting, and commit today.
The only thing that you need to do is to take action, and motivation is what's created as a byproduct. And we have so many things, the entire culture that revolves around creating the feeling instead of doing the action. And that's the single thing that you need to know, is if you're looking for the motivation to study, if you're looking for the motivation to work hard, if you're looking for the motivation to get started, you're looking in the wrong place. The only place that you need to look is at the book, is at the pen. The only thing that you need to do is to get started. Sit down at your desk, turn your phone off, close all of the extra tabs in your window that you don't need, and get going. And when the distractions come, realize that these things are temporary. They are temporary visitors. But the regret that you're gonna feel when you get smacked in the face on results day, in the classroom, and the teacher asks you a question, and you haven't done the work, you haven't done the homework, you haven't done the assignment, but most of all, you know in yourself, I didn't really live up to my potential, that's gonna hurt. And I say this because I know, I was that kid when I was at school, when I was at university, when I was in college. But the greatest pain, the greatest motivator was regret. And all of a sudden, you've got a 5-day streak. And then the game is, let's turn it into a 10-day streak. And then the game is, let's make it 20, let's make it 30. And next thing you know, you've done 100 days of studying. And in 3 months, you turn your entire academic career around. You change from an average student into a great student. Get up. Stop what you're doing.
What's your time worth? You're a university student. Well, it's certainly worth minimum wage, because obviously, but it's worth way more than that, because if you spend a productive hour when you're 20, then you gain the benefits of that hour for the rest of your life. So there's the compounding effect of time spent when we were young. So I say, well, let's assume your time's worth 50 bucks an hour, which I think is an underestimate, but whatever. Let's call it 50. We call it 25, but we'll call it 50. If that's $2,000 a week you're wasting, it's $100,000 a year. It's like, how much better would your life be if you weren't wasting $100,000 a year? The Da Vinci Code. Everyone liked that. It sold a lot. And, you know, it was full of little mysteries, and it was full of hints that there was more to the world than you think, and which is definitely true. And that, you know, there was a way of getting access to that knowledge, and that it would really be worthwhile. And people liked that. They liked that idea. And the reason for that is because it's true.
Learn to write. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm dead serious about that. Because writing is formalized thinking. And so the way you write is, first of all, you need a problem. Because why write if you don't have a problem? So this is good advice if you're just writing an essay, by the way, for your classes. It's like, pick a bloody problem that you want to write about, because otherwise it's false right from the start. It's up to you to engage with the material until you find something that grips you, that you desire to investigate. Okay, so you need a problem. Well, the next thing you need to do is, well, you need to have something to say about the problem. Well, so reading is really good for that. Read as much as you can, get your hands on that addresses the problem. Okay, so now you know a bunch of things, or at least provisionally know them. You at least have access to them. Well, now you start sorting through it. It's like, okay, well, maybe I need to summarize what I've learned. And then I need to iron out the contradictions between what I've learned. And I need to elegantly formulate that. And I need to get my word choice right, and my phrase choice right, and my sentence choice right. And I need to organize the sentences into proper paragraphs, and the paragraphs into proper sequence, so that I have a coherent argument. And at the same time, what you're doing is you're integrating your own personality at the highest and most abstract level of organization. and you're sharpening your tools and you're putting yourself straight because you're learning to think. You learn to do that by writing. Many, many years, you hone your words. They're the most powerful thing about you, bar none. If you are an effective writer and speaker and communicator, you have all the authority and competence that there is. And so you're at university. Maybe you're taking a humanities degree. Well, that, what's the humanities degree for? It's to teach you how to think. You learn to think by writing. Now, there's more to read, to speak, and all of that. But the best thing you can do is read and write every day, a couple of hours every day. Write about things you find important and see if you can discover what you believe to be true. And that'll build you a foundation. And it's unbelievably practical. Like, if you look at people who are phenomenally successful across life, there's various reasons, but one of them is that they're unbelievably good at articulating what they're aiming at and strategizing and negotiating and enticing people with a vision forward. It's like, get your words together, man. That makes you unstoppable. And that's the core of the humanities, that idea. Get your words together. Make yourself an articulate creature, and then you're deadly in the best possible way. So, and take that seriously. The best thing you can do is teach people to write, because there's no difference between that and thinking. And one of the things that just blows me away about universities is that no one ever tells students why they should write something. It's like, well, you have to do this assignment. Well, why are you writing? Well, you need the grade. It's like, no, you need to learn to think. Because thinking makes you act effectively in the world. Thinking makes you win the battles you undertake. And those could be battles for good things. If you can think and speak and write, you are absolutely deadly. Nothing can get in your way. So that's why you learn to write. It's like, when I can't believe that people aren't just told that. It's like, it's the most powerful weapon you could possibly provide someone with. And I know lots of people who've been staggeringly successful and watched them throughout my life. I mean, those people, you don't want to have an argument with them. They'll just slash you into pieces. And not in a malevolent way. It's like, if you're going to make your point and they're going to make their point, you better have your points organized, because otherwise you are going to look like and be an absolute idiot. You are not going to get anywhere. And if you can formulate your arguments coherently, and make a presentation, if you can speak to people, if you can lay out a proposal, God, people give you money, they give you opportunities, you have influence. That's what you're at university for. And so that's what you do. So you're in English, right? In languages anyways. It's like, yeah, teach people to be articulate, because that's the most dangerous thing you can possibly be. So, and that's motivating if people know that. It's like, well, why are you learning to write? Because here's your sword, here's your M16, right? Here's your bulletproof vest. Like, you learn how to use them. You students, you might think in your more cynical moments that you have to offer your professors what they want and gerrymander the content of your language to suit their predilections, or what you consider to be their predilections. First of all, it's a very small minority of professors who are corrupt enough to punish you for producing a high-quality essay that they don't agree with. And though that's reprehensible, but it doesn't happen very often. But more importantly, it's the highest academic sin to do that. Because what you're here to do is to learn to find your true voice. And every time you deviate from that for expedient reasons, you corrupt yourself. And not in a trivial way, because when you formulate your arguments, that becomes a permanent part of your character. You carry that with you. It becomes part of the structure through which you view the world, and it guides your actions. And so you hold your words pristine, and you work in a dedicated way to become as articulate and clear as you can possibly become. And there's nothing that's more practical and noble than that at the same time. You come out of here able to speak and think and write, no matter where you go, like you're headed for the pinnacle, and hopefully in a way that's positive for everyone.